Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Get ready for a weekend of peace, love, music, and the arts at the Rhythm and Joy Festival, Raj 13, October 4th through the 6th at Hummingbird Nest Ranch in Simi Valley with Chaka Khan, Roy Ayers, Michelle Ndege Ocello, Zap Mama, Deva Primal and Miten, Common, Georgia Ann Muldrow, Don Miguel Ruiz, and Ricky and Michael Beckwith. Also enjoy spoken word, yoga, dance, and a children's and elders village. Visit Raj, RAJFestival.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread,
touchy nut bars. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle
shortbread,
touchy
nut bars. How many
cheeks
in the cookie jar?
One.
Dad,
you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
That's how I'm doing, that's how I'm being, that is the truth about me. I don't care what I'm going through, what's going on in your world, that is the truth about you too, boo. Carly Jackson reminding us of the truth of who we really are, that we already whole, we already perfect. And we know that being on this planet causes us to forget sometimes. We get all hard and we can't open up, we can't let the love out. So Bridget Bryan said, I got you, my brother, I got you, my man. And we are saying, sisters, we got you. Let's create a soft place on Life Conversations Radio. We'll be right back.
To see you smile. There is nothing I want more than to hold you near. Be in love's atmosphere. Together we two. So
One said, I wanna love you. This shit is tripping. I ain't got time for that. Alright, Bridget, there's something about your kind that makes what you say believable. I'm willing to grow. Really? I can fall? Oh, I'm serious now. I just walked down this path of self-discovery, disguised as romantic relationship. Yes, Bridget Bryant, bringing out the silly in me. She created a soft place for me to just be me. Yes. Life is good. Bridget Bryant, soft place. To find out more about Bridget Bryant, her website address is bridgetbryant.com. Teaching the sisters to create a soft place for their mate. And helping the brothers to relax a little. To fall back, go ahead. I know you like to be tough, but fall back. But that's what it's about, creating soft places for ourselves. A place where we all can feel held, where we can feel supported, where we can feel acknowledged. It's stuff gets in the way. All the other ish gets in the way. So how do we support each other to unfold, to bring out our challenges, to shine the light on our darkness, on our shadow? How do we support others to look at themselves fully and not be ashamed? That's the work we're here to do. You can let go of the battle of the sexes. Deal with the battle in your head. And then you may find some peace and realize that what you saw out there as the battle of the sexes was simply a reflection of your consciousness. And it's important for us to create a soft place for ourselves, to let go of judgment, self-criticism. I will continue the conversation with my brothers, who I am just excited to hear, to feel, to smell, to taste their conversation, their consciousness. We'll talk more about that. They're waiting patiently. Are you ready to let it all hang out? We have created a soft place for you to be you. A soft place for you to show up, to speak your truth and live the truth. Your truth, that is, the personal truth. To live the truth, the spiritual truth. Sometimes we tend to live our spiritual truth and say, oh, you know, the spiritual truth. I get it. Or some of us live the spiritual truth and I don't want to deal with my spiritual truth. That's just my lower self. Stop it. If you're on this planet, you need to embrace both your personal truth, which is based on your experiences, your conditioning, your challenges, your successes, your culture, your race, your religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs. And then there's a spiritual truth that joins us all together, that says to you, that reminds you that no matter how you see yourself, especially if it's less than others, less than what you think you want to be, that spiritual truth reminds you that you are so much more. And right now, you are enough. Simple, but sometimes challenging. Simple, but not always easy. That's why we're having this conversation. Oh, I'm being carried by the energy. I forgot to welcome you. No, I didn't. It's part of the process. I needed to lay that foundation so you can come in, because you wanted to know if you want to come in. So now that you know, this is a soft place, a safe place for you to come in. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. Where change begins, and when change is inspired, and you truly, truly, truly make a difference. You can't help it. If you make yourself available to spirit, to the Christ consciousness, if you make yourself available for life, to be of service, to be used, you can't help but make a difference. You are here to make a difference. And for some people, the differences they're making is just taking up space. You know, we need people to fill in the void. Or else, the rest of us who are going about doing great work. Oh, judgment. Okay, well, you know what I mean. Because even if you're taking up space, you're doing great work. Because we don't want to get sucked in into that void. We got things to do. Yes. Let's keep this moving. I want to bring my brothers on early. I'm going to do the announcement. And just want to remind you, if you don't know already, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I Am is your host. And the I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade. And oh my God, if there's anything that you think about Life Coach Ade, just take it to the I Am presence. Because Life Coach Ade don't even know what's going to happen when he opens his mouth. Sometimes it's like, hey, don't embarrass me in the I Am presence. Tells Life Coach Ade, I don't know what you're talking about. I am simply here to express. If you want to repress or depress, Life Coach Ade, that's on you. But I am that I am. So life coach today says, I am what I am. Yes, welcome. Welcome to part two of Spirituality Through the Eyes of Men. And we had an amazing show last week with the brothers. I am not the same. They fed me. They instilled in me. They dropped in my consciousness. You know, they dropped sacred medicine. And I'm so grateful to see what we create together. So let me bring on Celeste while we, so we can keep this moving. Hey, Celeste, take a breath. I'm coming to you right now. All right, get it together. How are you?
Hello, Life Coach. Today I'm doing well. And you guys?
You sound all laid back. You sound like you're creating a soft place for us. Hello, Life Coach Addy. I'm doing well.
Well, I am. I discovered something new.
Ooh, really?
I think that the timing of this show is really an amazing testament of the journey of the sacred masculine spirituality, mm-hmm. Because you have an archangel who is kind of flying around you guys right now, the archangel mm-hmm. of protection, Michael. Mm-hmm. See, he's mm-hmm. featured on the Rider-Waite deck of tarot under number uh-huh. 14, temperance, and 5 is running today. And I thought, how interesting, we're having this really amazing show looking at spirituality and touching these hot topics, and you have an angel mm-hmm. of protection around you. So that means yes. that anything you're listening to or taking into your system is just even more divine than you probably anticipated when you started to listen to this show.
Mm-hmm. You know, I sure did. And what it reminds me of is, you know, when we're putting things together, we think, oh, I got to do this. We break our backs or get stressed out. But this life that we are all living out has already been written. We are living out what is already written. So it's no accident. It's no accident that it's happening. So what you're sharing with us helps us remember that we are always in alignment with Source. We are always in alignment with God. So we can just chill the flip out. Chill out. So thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that confirmation, affirmation that we are doing just what we need to do.
Absolutely. So I'll get on to your announcements now.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, I feel funny today. I'm enjoying the energy. All right, so hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all of the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so our wonderful panel of special guests along with Life Coach a Day can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page on Facebook, but just be sure to create a new posting because we want to make sure that we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, you can go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Is there a topic you would like Coach a Day to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of September is Surrender to Your Greatness. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo and getting ready to expand your awareness about you being you. get some soul food for your consciousness. He's going to bring it, so make sure you're there. Be sure to join Umbasa Safair for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to also tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach today, which airs on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truth in your ancestral blueprints can still be influencing your life today. You can find me as well on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on The Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Connect with introspective tools like tarot, black angel cards, and medicine cards to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. And did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to InspireBroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can also go to the Life Conversations radio and or the Ask Life Coach Today radio show fan like page on Facebook and click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you very much, Celeste.
Thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And I know you are multitasking, you spider woman, you are.
I am.
Of course. We'll bring you back at the perfect time because I know you're ready. That's right. All right. Talk to you later. Actually, do me a favor. Mute yourself for me, please.
Okay.
I just let go of some perfection energy. Ooh, normally I try to do too many things at once. So go ahead and mute yourself. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome all of you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. Those of you listening online, those of you listening on the phone line and our Within Radio listeners. And of course, we can't forget those of you listening on the archive. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being who you really are. And it's time to have a deeper conversation with the brothers. And I am multitasking, but I'm going to work it out in a minute right here. Here we go. Let me go back here. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are taking your questions. If you missed the show last week with the brothers, you can always go back and listen to part one. But right now, stay in the moment. The past is important, but stay in the moment. And I'm going to read a little bit about them and so I can bring them on. I think that's what we need to do. Just jump right on in. We're taking your questions, ladies, gentlemen, children, anybody who's listening, physical beings, non-physical beings. Yeah, all of y'all. We're taking your questions, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And or you can also post your questions, as Celeste said, on the like pages, fan pages, Ask Life Coach at a radio show like page, fan page, or the Life Conversations radio like page. Now it's time to read the bios, and things are kind of moving slow, or it's moving at this pace. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, take that down here, pull this up, and do this. And yeah, let me tell you about my brothers. Excuse me. Ashande Amun, there you go, is a vibrant spirit, a father, a husband, a center for spirituality, living practitioner, an urban mystic, occultist, soul-filled artist, poet, and spiritual activist. We need more of those. You can't say that enough. Ashande is committed to using his particular way of God expression in helping others see love in and through their life. His charge and mission has been to spread the seeds of love and light to each experience, to each he experienced, he's been blessed to be with. Ashande serves as co-chair for the Masters of Light Ministry, and that's out of Guidance Spiritual Center, which are dedicated to creating a way of contemporary youth culture to practice the presence of God through the application of new thought, ancient wisdom principles, and practices. Ashande is in the process of compiling the prayer treatment prose he has been writing, some of which has been written prayer work, which has been written prayer works for Guidance Ministry of Prayer Outreach, a brother who understands the power of prayer, and reminding folks that prayer is a shift in consciousness. It's already done. You just got to shift your consciousness to get in alignment with what is true. We also have my brother, Don Wolf, a.k.a. Gregory Woods. He's a musician, a writer, a social activist, and a keeper of stories. He has been learning and enjoying stories as a boy and continues learning new stories and asking questions of ancestors and himself. He likes to say ancestors become stories, and the living listen to each other's story, and the stories are told to children who will become more than old people and become elders. So important. He makes it his sacred duty to provide guidance on life journey by creating sacred space for healing. And let me go to, that's the one that was really working out. Here we go. Here we go. Brother Kasembe. really? I'm having an internal dialogue here. Bear with me. Kasembe Abena is a certified Reiki master, energy worker, empath, and channel. He has explored various energetic and metaphysical philosophies for nearly 20 years and holds a BA in psychology. His unique combination of compassion, empathy, and energizing electric stimulation, or the white fire, in his healing sessions can result in a truly unique healing and uplifting experience. Kasembe received his training in Reiki and energy medicine from the international teacher, Reiki teacher, Kaya. Kasembe's focus involves bringing purpose and realignment to everyone by addressing their core energetic issues as an agent of transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, especially the skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, you know we need them, the ancestors, the spirit guide, the enlightened ones, we invite all of them. Help me welcome my brothers, my friends, myself, Kasembe, Ashande, and... Oh, damn, we got a show today. How you doing, brothers? Good. Nice to see you.
All right, how you doing, brother? Okay.
Wonderful. So much going on. All right, y'all, keep it down. We're trying to have a holy moment here. Stop being rowdy. it's nice to have you back. You know, I am really excited about this show, and it's much more than excitement. I feel like, personally, I just more than excitement, it's a knowing that something is seeking and wanting to be birthed, and you guys are creating a space. Together, we're creating that space for that expression. And I am just grateful for you guys saying yes, coming back. So I'm going to do this again because every day is a new day and every moment is a new moment. So I'm going to go to Don Wolf and ask you, Don Wolf, who are you? Who is Don Wolf? Gregory Woods, the man with many names. Oh, hold on. Wait. Sorry, Don Wolf. My bad. I had you muted. Okay, let's start over again.
I had you muted.
I have my hand in your mouth, but I can tell you, I washed my hands. Yeah, I had you muted.
Man, sounds like the oppressive hand of the man.
You sound like Homeland Security.
TSA, sir. Fed him, sir. Nope, don't touch that, sir.
What was the question? Oh, I remember the question.
That's right.
You asked who I am?
That's right.
I am who I'm is now. Okay, no, that's not a good answer.
I
put myself into a mature mood. I'm in a very silly mood right now. So give me a second. Inhale, exhale. And an answer to your question in the most serious of manner.
Okay.
My answer is very simple. I am just light. I'm a man who comes to do the what I'm supposed to be doing, but basically I'm just light. It comes through me, and that's all. Ooh, that was difficult. Cause I had a really silly joke on the tip of my tongue. But going to the next
now.
What?
You can share it because, you know, I like to be silly
No, I have to maintain the image. You know, image is everything.
Yeah, well, I'm here to demystify the image you're maintaining. Because I get silly, and I don't want to be the only brother being silly up in here, okay? thank you, Don Wolf. Let's go to Ashande. How are you doing, my brother?
I am well.
You're good. Well. Now, same question. Who are you? Who is Ashande Amun?
Good question. Today, I am... Let's see. Today I am just being me, however that shows up.
Let me just check with you while you're being you and expressing your goodness. Hello, what's your daughter's name, Ashande? You didn't give her a love out there.
Sorry.
Shame on you. I'm just messing with you. What's her name?
So I'm Daddy.
That's right. She said, I am being me. She said, you're Daddy. What's your daughter's name?
Zaria.
Okay, got it. I don't know. Yeah. Your phone is kind of messing with me or us. It's not very clear. I don't know if you have us in the headset. If you can just kind of talk to your phone and tell your phone to act like. I don't know. What's going on? Okay,
no,
let's
I don't have one in the headset.
Okay, Kasembe, my brother, who are you? Who is Kasembe Abena?
Brother Ade. Today I will say just a soul that's in a constant mode of discovery.
I hear you. Okay, let's go. Let's shift gears now, but still on the same path. This question I want to ask you, so I just call you to make it easy for listeners to know who's talking. I want to hear your thoughts, if the thoughts, feelings about the conversation last week. You know, what has come up for you? What did you leave with from our conversation? And is there anything that came up for you that you would like to talk about? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stick with Kasembe. Thoughts, reflections from last week.
I think, you know, the thing about fathers has come up with, as I discussed the show with a couple friends of mine, and it was just very interesting, the contrast of Don Wolf to Ashande to myself. I know that Don Wolf had said, you know, both his parents were there, Ashande and myself, fathers weren't there, but Ashande spoke of other men, a lot of other men in his life that served as father figures. And I had my uncle, but that was it. And I also remember Ashande saying, you know, he was kind of, you know, secrets and some esoteric knowledge was slid to him, you know, kind of on sly, you know. He was given that support. And that support there was not, my support was religious, but it was not spiritual or didn't have anything to do with spiritual science. So I thought that has stuck with me. And it just... I think what came out of that for me as well is just how, you know, when you're put on a path, when your higher self has a mission and you connect with that mission, it doesn't matter where you are or who you are or what you're born into. If you're really about seeking that and aligning yourself with what you put here to do, you're going to get what you need regardless. you know. So it just really kind of it put me into that in terms of while we're all here, the lessons from our circumstances, who we were brought up through and who was and was not there in our lives, and how we've come through today, and even the messages that we pass on based on what we did and did not have. So that's what kind of that is what has stuck with me in that conversation. It was beautiful to hear both of these brothers talk about their backgrounds and what they were given and just where they come from. It was beautiful to hear different perspectives. So, you know, that was really very enlightening, and I really appreciate it.
I so understand, you know, listening to you guys' story. It fed me energetically. I struggle with the words, but just as you said, the stories, the contrast, and Don Wolf's experience, I mean, it's just like, wow. And that's why I really believe conversations like this is very important, so that, one, we see that we're not alone, and we can also experience our healing through other people's story.
That's right.
And speaking of stories, let's go to the keeper of stories, Don Wolf. Reflections, thoughts since last week, anything that stuck out for you from our conversation last week, Don Wolf?
Well, a couple of things stuck out. After, when we were winding down, the Khalil Gibran's words kept pressing on me. When I was about 18, I stumbled upon a lot of money on the ground, and I was in a country that was very poor and in a city that was poor, and I stepped on the money because the area I was in had a lot of villas and a lot of wealth, and I felt bad because I knew a very poor man had lost his week's pay, and I helped this money put the word out there on the street that I found it. No one came forward, and it grieved me, but then I finally put it to the bank, told my mother. No one came forward. More time elapsed, and then I went and I bought this book of quotes from Khalil Gibran, and I read it, and it really shifted me. And that feeling I got when I first started reading Khalil Gibran was initiated because of something I read way back when I was 18, and something that was said near the end of our discussion brought that memory back up, and it's a simple thing that he said, but at 18, I could not unravel it. I had to get to be in this time of my life to really understand it, meaning I had to experience things. And the words he said were, "A woman's heart will not change with time or season. Even if it dies eternally, it will never perish. A woman's heart is like a field turned into a battleground. After the trees are uprooted and the grass is burned and the rocks are reddened with blood and the earth is planted with bones and skulls, it is calm and silent, as if nothing has happened, for the spring and autumn come at their intervals and resume their work." And the things that we were talking about, they followed me. I kept thinking about them. I kept hearing the voices, and then Saturday I was at a funeral. I had to bury one of our young men. I'd seen this kid grow up. He died of a heart attack, congestive heart failure at 34. And I had never planned to speak when I went to the funeral, because not only have I known the family, his baby sister married my son. And here I am, then I'm up there, and I'm carrying one of my medicine items with me, and it hit me, I need to speak, because I wasn't hearing a father's voice at the funeral. Younger men were talking, boys were talking, but a father came up. And so I felt this, and I went up and I spoke to the core of Dominique, because I watched him grow, watched him go through the stages of his life. And I just stepped in periodically. When he was at the Learning Center, he was wandering and frustrated, and on until we found a job and all that stuff. And then he dies. And when I was speaking, I was hurt because I remember his stepfather. I don't know why his mother and stepmother split, but the name of his stepfather, who was in him and the primary male in his family, was excluded from the services. And I know the stepfather is not dead, but he wasn't there. That thing pained me. But as I spoke about his life, I was acknowledging what others hadn't, was what his family and others who really loved this boy, white, black, and yellow, how they put in what they put into his life. I couldn't shake the feeling that somehow, I don't know if this is true, but it felt like the man that was in him throughout his childhood was not there for reasons that were not privy to me. But it was that absence that bothered me. And I felt like I had stepped into that gap to speak as a father's voice. Not that that was my son, but when I spoke to him as my son. So I don't know how to conclude that, because it's a continuing thing. Because as you guys had said, spoke last week about your fathers, about filling in the voids that were there. Whether you have a father with you in your formative years and whether you don't, and other men have stepped in, at some point we have to take responsibility and develop, get the teachers, and then come to the place where we can be the one who is the father voice, who is the man voice. And last week added to the weight of what that responsibility is. And I've been talking to other men, a few around the country that I know, who this is their quest. And when we come together, the question is, how do we do this better?
Yes, thank you. How do we do this better? Whew. Ashande, thoughts, reflections from last week?
Well, I was moved by everyone's story and the connection we all had, which for me came up in a very mystical sense. And as I was contemplating, I was just thinking how I had been blessed with various figures that came through my life in the personage of a man. And that I just was meditating on it, and some were, simple people, that I never even considered anything until, so just reflecting and how many people have touched me in ways that I'm like, wow, okay, all of this had a part to play in where I am right now. So that was coming up.
Yes, indeed, we just keep making room for that goodness by facing any behavior, thoughts, habits, energy that gets in the way of that goodness. It's interesting that the reflection is about fatherhood. And I in the Western spirituality, that's what I'm going to call it. I don't want to say sort of like the West, as if I'm judging the West, but there's a tendency in the Western spirituality to say, don't focus on the past. And now is the only time. And I get it. But really what we need to really make clear is focusing on the past, recognizing where you came from, your legacy, and who you are now. And I also understand that really what we're saying when we say don't focus on your past is when you start judging your past, because the past informs who we are here as a human expression. And you can say that our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and ancestors, they were in the past, and they have the answer. They have something
that we need. And what I mean by that is they are part of our root. If we are a tree, we have to remember the root of our life, the root of life, the roots that keeps us strong. And, you know, speaking of fatherhood or fathers, I had a conversation with my father this week. Now, my father is in Nigeria, and he practices the Muslim religion. And so after they just, well, not long, maybe about a month ago or so, they just finished the Ramadan, the fasting period. And then they come the time when they, you know, sacrifice a ram. And every year, you know, he sometimes doesn't want to ask us for the money, us, my brother and sisters. And at times I didn't want to talk about it because I had issues about money. And I wasn't sure if I was going to have the money. So anyway, I was talking to my father this week, and I heard myself ask my father something I've never asked him before. I didn't even mean to ask it. I don't know how it came out of my mouth. When it came out, I said, oh, my God, ooh, I've definitely expanded, and I'm growing. I said to my father, we talked, and I said, so how are you doing with money? And I heard myself say that, and part of me said, you better shut up. Don't be asking that kind of question. You got some money you want to send to him? But it, for me, when I heard those words come out of my mouth, I really felt a sense of compassion for myself, like, wow, what a growth. Because there's been a long story when it comes to money and my father and how I see myself, how I see him. And I really, and I share that just for so many reasons, but the importance of healing our relationship as men with our fathers and with our mothers as well. It is important because no matter what we do, we can never, ever separate ourselves from them. It's just impossible. We are them. We are an extension of them. So we talked about forgiveness last week. That is important so that we can heal the disconnection. And without forgiveness, we start living out what they did and think we're doing it differently. Only others to remind us, you're doing just what your father did. And sometimes we face that ourselves. And I want to, since we're talking about fathers, let's take some time to talk about your relationship with your mother. With your mothers. I think that's important. There's several things, and there's something happens when I'm naturally, I have a lot of energy, but there's something that you guys bring to the table that sitting around you guys just open me up to so much more. So let's talk about briefly about your relationship with your mother, and we can talk about the articles that I shared with you guys, but we'll talk more about that. I won't go into that right now. Let's go to Ashande, you know I'm coming to you, right, Ashande? Let's talk
sure
about your relationship. You said he's coming to me. I'm like, yes, I am. Your relationship with your mother, what was that like? What did she teach you when you were a boy, and what did she teach you as a man?
Well, there was a haiku that I wrote when I was in high school. The teacher, my English teacher, asked us to write.
Okay, can you break it down for those who might not know what a haiku is?
Well, a haiku is basically a short poem which says everything in a sentence or three.
Your phone, so I said, hold on one second, because I know you.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but it sounds like you're underwater. It almost sounds like that Skype sound, you know. I don't know if you're using Skype.
No, I'm not.
Let's
on
do
the cell phone, so maybe that's it.
Well, actually, let's do this, because don't lose that thought. Hang up and call back in, and while you're doing that, I will go to Kasembe, and then after that we'll come back. Okay, because I don't want people to miss the jam that you're trying to share with us. All right. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Okay.
Kasembe.
Yes, sir.
Share
yes,
with
brother.
Us your relationship with your mother, what she taught you as a boy, as a man, and and else you want to share with us.
All right. My mother, we had a very close relationship. She was very dear to me. I am actually out in Atlanta right now because of my mother. My mother contracted breast cancer, developed breast cancer at the end of 2008. And I came out a couple times in 2009 for, I guess, a total of maybe about 6 months. And then she was going the, you know, natural and alternative routes. And then after allopathic medicine had given her a clean bill of health, her hip was hurting her, and she found out later, you know, about a month later, that after running some more tests, that contrary to what they said, after having pressured, you know, her to basically go through chemo and radiation, that it had spread all throughout her body and was in her bones. So I came out here to live in February of 2010. Basically, I remember telling friends in L.A. That I was going out basically to save my mother, you know. So I moved out here to Atlanta. And during that time, it was, you know, I've been away from home, you know, since I was 17 when I went to college. So I hadn't spent that much time with my mother since then, since I was, you know, a boy or a young man. And things were reemphasized of what she taught me. We spent a lot of time together. I would read a book to her every night, and then we kind of went through a couple books, or at least about a book and a half, because I kind of couldn't find the second book that was as good as the first one. But anyway, another story. But I read to her every night. You know, we did a lot of talking, and what she did for me was she was really a woman of integrity. She was a woman of her word. She was a woman of righteousness and just doing the right thing. You know, you may not, obviously we all have faults and we all make mistakes, but she just taught me the importance of intention in your heart and starting out to do the right thing. Also, you know, my mother had a great sense of humor, you know, and I realized that I got my sense of humor from my mother. She was very witty. But really, it was really about, as I said, the integrity, having a heart with the right intention. And also, and I think this is something that a lot of women are born with, because of just the fact that they have the ability to house another being within them. Always thinking about others. Always thinking about others. You know, any decision you make, it's never just you. It's someone else as well. So that as well, you know, with all that she did. And I, you know, I credit my decision to come out here to Atlanta with just the way she raised me, you know. It was a no-brainer for me to come out here and be with her and to help her. She unfortunately ended up passing away August of 2010. But we had some wonderful times together. And as a matter of fact, it ended up being my mother, and my mother was living with my mother and my sister were living together here in Atlanta. And so I came down, so it was and also my grandmother, my mother's mother, came down. So it was the four of us here, and we hadn't been together for that amount of time, really ever. So there was some, it was some very tough times in terms of trying to keep my mother, a family member, alive. But there are also some very special and sacred times as well in that time, and a lot of sharing. My mother, I learned integrity and how to, you know, really about your perspective and how it really needs to be communal.
Yes. Nurturing and healing. Thank you. Let's go to Ashande. So we're back.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to even add to your question, because I was talking there just while you were calling back. I guess we needed to do that. you know, I want you to share your story, your relationship with your mother as a boy and as a man. And, of course, one of the things that you shared with me is you are what we call, there's got to be a better way of defining the labeling that, but a stay-at-home father. So I want to ask you, what has your mom taught you, and the things that she taught you, how is that helping you raise your son and daughter right now?
I guess one of the major things is just that nurturing. I think some of So nurturing, that nurturing quality that I see a lot of men and my brothers in particular kind of shy away from, you know.
Okay.
That deep openness to allow the feminine to come out and be okay mm-hmm. with that, you know, and have that feminine-masculine balance
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I didn't have a father there. So there were times she had to allow her masculine to come, you know what I mean?
Yes,
so
yeah.
Seeing mm-hmm. that and not, and it was kind of done in a way that I didn't really have no hang-ups about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people go through and they have rebelliousness about that, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very, or she is, a very open person. Mm-hmm. So I'm noticing now as age has progressed, that's a whole nother topic, but I grew up where there were colorful people in the home, people from various life, you know, experiences. She had transvestite friends, very flamboyant individuals. She had pimps and prostitutes as friends. And so, yeah, all these different people, business people coming through. And so there was just this collective group of people, and I know that played a part in my development mm. of just being accepting for people as they show up in life, you know. And so I never knew that until, you know, recently, just, you know, as I grew up and the friends that I've had, you know, which is a motley crew of people. I know that had to do with her.
Mm.
As a kid,
you
coming
think
up,
had
she
a,
was the type of.
I was going to ask, do you think that had an influence with you making the choice to stay at home with your daughter instead of your wife, or both of you working?
Well, she's working, and she just knew that I would be better at that, having went through the son thing of taking care of him, so. She's like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, so let me go on it and trust him with that. And so, but, yeah, that was something, because she showed me things that, you know, just by her example, that went into my own blueprint, you know. I never thought. It just was coming out. Bam, bam. I'm like, wow, this is stuff my mama used to do. But you never think about it because you never feel you're going to ever have to be doing stuff, you know.
Right.
So when my son had an issue with the milk that they were giving him, I went into an old thing I used to see my mom do for kids she used to take care of when she was a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make these concoctions that her grandma or her mother showed her, my grandmother. And so I started making this stuff, and I gave it to my son, and, of course, he's healthy and all of that. But, you know, just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the hike I wrote was my mother. Dominated by my mother, dominated by my mother, dominated by history.
Mm-hmm.
So with that came that aspect as well. You know, she came
so
from the
you,
south.
You were saying, Anna, the haiku you wrote, you say, I didn't quite get it. You were saying, what was it about?
I said, dominated by my mother. My mother dominated by history.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so because I was a black child, a black male child growing up in an urban South Central Los Angeles, you know, where it was just the wild, wild west, things that she was doing kind of was very overbearing. And at the time, I was like, what the? But now I know it was just done. She was trying to protect her baby. So as it's going down, you're like, what the?
Yeah.
Yes.
You
well,
mean I
yeah,
can't
I
go where? Well, I can't go this. I can't go
mm-hmm. Yeah, that is truly that. I mean, we can go so many places with. I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday about what mothers had to do for the young black boys back in the day in order to keep them alive. Like, be quiet, don't be seen,
yeah.
So they can stay alive. I mean, that's a conversation for Google Hangout, because I feel like I can't even. I mean, I have so many things that I've written here, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go with the flow. Let's go to Don Wolf. Share your story. With your mother, what she taught you, and anything that you're feeling, Don Wolf.
I have a lifetime with mommy. I'm the firstborn of my parents. I'm the firstborn of Herbert L. Woods and Constance B. Woods. And I share this with mommy from time to time about how I traveled to those four stages or places in a woman's life. In her journey, I accompanied her from the virgin to the mother to the old wise woman. And I have a keen memory of being breastfed, where breath was on my face when she was feeding me, and Daddy loved to tell stories about me, how I ate, how I'd empty her breast and an 8-ounce bottle and get angry when I heard the wind, the sucking of air on the bottle, because there was nothing else to eat. And then I can go on about how mommy was a mother. And I had the privilege, it was difficult watching mommy make the transition from the mother into the old wise woman.
Mm-hmm.
And to shed some light on that, because it's not part of the conscious dialogue in the United States about these three transitory places in a woman's life, but mommy allowed me into that realm. And because I was born when her mother was making the transition from the mother to the old wise woman, and it wasn't for everyone. And Daddy was mommy's adversary. As much as he loved mommy and as tight as they were, he was her resistor. And there's a lot of things just in what I said that I learned from mommy. During the time when mommy was diagnosed, when something went wrong in December, she told me, she said, there's something wrong. And she asked me, she calls me, I said, mommy, what's up? Something wrong. She said, why did you call? I said, something in my spirit, in my medicine said to call you. She said, what did you see? And I said, well, there's this thing sitting on top of your head, and it's pushing down, and it's eating, it's devouring. But I don't know what it is. Mommy said, I see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a month before we found out she had this cancer, some lymphoma, and it was eating at her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And mommy, and so I remained in the present with mommy constantly. And I don't know how many listeners understand what that is, because if you watch people walk, most people are living for the next moment or the next thing, and it's reflected in the way they walk. They walk the next crane out, they're moving forward. And if you're a musician or a performer at some point, every musician and artist knows when you're on stage, there's this weird moment, you put your best into it, and as soon as the performance is over, American audiences make a dash to get out of the place, because they can't stay in the present. So many have no idea what I'm talking about, what that means to remain in the present. But I sustained it all those months. And there were so many things that came, so I had to write. And I drummed for mommy. I drummed her in different parts of her transition/decline. And it was constantly learning, because the open relationship what I mean open between Mommy and I was, it was open. We had similar gifts. Mommy taught me. She was the one who saw it and taught Daddy how to protect it. And Daddy did what he did. And then when Mommy was in her last months, in her last days, where she didn't know, her mind didn't know we were there because it was cancer eating her eyes, eating the brain. Mm. Mommy's spirit was active. And Mommy's spirit could come up the top of her head and look around, and she could see her sons when they walked into the room. So now Mommy's teaching me, how do you live as you die?
Mm.
Mommy taught me how to live. Mommy taught me when I was a policeman how to walk in the spirit in that line between life and death. Daddy taught me how to do the same thing, but Mommy taught me how to do it as a woman, which was a very subtle art, and it's something that's learned during the birth process. And then there's something happens in the breastfeeding process. And I was sensitive to this because I talked to Mommy about this stuff. Mommy, at 19, she hung out with me, and Mommy would show me all the subtle things about women I was missing. She taught me, told me how women were making the come hither looks, what the seduction was, the slight thing. She said, this is what this woman wants to do to you if she got you in this position or that position. Real subtle stuff.
Mm.
How do you stand up against a formidable foe as a woman? I can go on. There's, when you talk about father, when you talk about sons, and I heard it in the other guests' voices, there's so much that mothers give sons and so much that sons give mothers. And one area that all of our mothers, I hear it in the voices, one thing that our mothers have said, and I'm sure that the other two will say the same thing, is our mothers have the sense that we were their great protectors.
Hmm.
And how that happened, I think our mothers know more about how they created that dynamic within us. We think that it was a natural born. I think it is, but I think our mothers hold the secret of how that thing within us made us so protective of our mothers. Because
yes,
as Mommy would say, she says, a woman gives birth to her protector. And men who beat women, I throw this at them. And when men, abusive men, have faced me, when I'm getting ready to whoop their hind parts because of what they've done to another woman, because I'm one of those cats. And one part of me is very old school. I believe in a real good ass whipping if you do certain things. And I whip my fair share of men because of what they have done from women. And then I go tell my mother.
Mm.
And Mommy has given me blessings to do that when I was a boy. So there's a complexity. I don't think the three of us can really put all of it out there.
Right.
Because there's so much that our mothers put in it.
I'm actually glad you went there because we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to do Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And then I want to talk about protection and power as it relates to manhood. We've got some questions. I'll send you guys an email, and there's a link to an article. But it's about protection and power. There are females who say sometimes they feel unsafe around men or around their partner. And I got some questions around that. So you're in the flow of where I want to go. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. And if you have any questions for the brothers, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. My guests, my brothers, my friends are Kesembe Abena. He's a Reiki master. Ashande Amun, he's a spiritual activist. And Don Wolf, the keeper of stories. What a wonderful title for him, because he definitely keeps the stories. I mean, from I know personally, as I listen, Don Wolf reflects the story of somebody who had a balanced upbringing. I'm sure, as he shared before, there were challenges, but some people didn't have the benefit of having their father and their mother there and being able to speak to their soul so they can develop into a whole human being, spirit, mind, and body. So I'm grateful for how all of this is unfolding. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to do Celestial Moments, Celeste Morgan, and talk about power and protection. And by the way, one of the things, I don't know if we have time to go into that. Well, maybe we would. I sent a link to the brothers, and it was about a pastor in Utah, I think. And, you know, they're people, they're men in power who are men in a place of authority, really. They abuse their power. This pastor was having sex with young boys, and his argument, if you will, insanity, more than that, was he was having sex with them so he can, how do I put this? Clean out the homosexuality in the boys. And the way he decided to do it, he was raping them, really. The way he decided to do it was to have sex with them. And there's an article, if you're... Actually, Celeste, you can post that article in the chat room, and maybe we'll post it on the like page as well. I don't know if I want to post it. Just post it in the chat room. And if anybody else wants it, if you're not in the chat room, you can send us a message on Facebook. It's such a... I don't like the vibration of the article, and I don't want to really keep it out there, but we can share. If you want to read it, it will be in the chat room. If you're not listening online and you're listening on your phone and you need it, you can find us on Facebook, Life Conversations Radio like page, or Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show like page. Just post it there so you want to see the article. Other than that, we ain't posting it, all right? We'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, the email address is radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Get ready for a weekend of peace, love, music, and the arts at the Rhythm and Joy Festival, Raj 13, October 4th through the 6th at Hummingbird Nest Ranch in Simi Valley, with Chaka Khan, Roy Ayers, Michelle and Dege Ocello, Zap Mama, Deva Primal and Miten, Common, Georgia Ann Muldrow, Don Miguel Ruiz, and Ricky and Michael Beckwith. Also enjoy spoken word, yoga, dance, and a children's and elders village. Visit Raj, RAJFestival.com.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Ask Life Coach Ade radio show is Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, and all the shows are archived, so you can always come back and listen. And we invite you to share the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters, because haters are just simply misguided cheerleaders. You know that? And your enemies too, you know, because your enemies really don't exist. They're all up in your head. Share the show so we may all grow together. And we also invite you to donate to Life Conversations Radio by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com. If the show has inspired you, help you see yourself in a whole new way, shift your consciousness, and you just want to contribute to the great work we're doing over here, lifeconversationsmedia.com. It is time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and then we're going to continue the conversation with the brothers, spirituality through the eyes of men. And the theme for this month is surrender to your greatness. We're supporting you to lean into who you really are and not be afraid to be vulnerable. It takes courage, but you can do it. Celeste, how are you doing?
I am so overjoyed with this conversation. And I actually have something I want to share very quickly about protection and men. And one of the things that I have learned is that we need to... One of the things that I've learned is that multitasking that I've learned on my journey is sometimes all it takes is for a grounded, spiritual, loving man to be present. If he has that centered in his being, there are things that come into play that I've had the big fortune of experiencing. And this is with Don Wolf's father, Herbert Woods. I met him for the first time, and I will never forget this. Because I'm friendly, and I'm open, but there was something about Mr. Woods' power and his sense of being that I was a little girl. I was in my early 40s when I had this encounter. I was a little girl. I was completely innocent. I was completely safe. I get up in his arms, I give him a big hug. The next thing I know, we're talking arm in arm, and I'm pulling caterpillars out of his head. Now, I found out later he's terrified of caterpillars, but of course I'm not. I played with them. So we're having this in conversation. He's got caterpillars dropping on him because it was out in nature, which is also really beautiful. And what I walked away from that is that when men have done their work, their presence is enough to heal. So I'm very grateful that I had that moment. I'm grateful for the friendship and the teachership that I have with his son. But I know where he gets it from. So I wanted to give a shout-out to male protection and action and love and thank Mr. Woods for giving me that gift.
Okay? Yes. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. All right. Let's do a moment.
Here we go. Itochu 5 was running today. We also have Archangel Michael floating around because he's a part of the Temperance card. And five is the High Priest, so I dedicate this celestial moment to all of you. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information that help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. And there are many ways to play. I come bearing a number gift. The energy of the day equals 5. And if it happens to be your birthday, then it's your lesson number for the whole year. 5 is ruled by Mercury, the planet of communications and speech. The number 5 is a freedom lover, connected to change and challenges. In tarot, 5 is the Hierophant, or the High Priest in Greek, the inner teacher helping us to navigate between earthly and heavenly delights. The high priest, the Hierophant, is astrologically associated to the sign of Taurus, the bull, and Taurus is ruled by Venus. So can you feel the love coming through? For five is also the sacred number of another goddess of love, Oshun. And she says, let the waters of your life run sweetly. In the medicine cards, the number five turns into a bear, and the hibernating bear's gift is from the Dream Lodge, where we enter holy ground through deep reflection and introspection. Now, five also shows up as the throat chakra, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today with the chakra deck, 50 cards for promoting spiritual health by Olivia Miller. The fifth chakra is associated with sound and has to do with creative self-expression, speech, and communication, the ability to speak honestly, to receive, process, and assimilate information, and to connect with and speak our inner truth all relate to the fifth chakra, the center of transformation and change. Love knows the truth. And what truth would that be? When we truly behold the divinity within ourselves, then we can behold the divinity within each other. Whether we speak it or not, our actions are always communicating. Through the opening of the heart, we find our own rhythm and create sounds that do not curse, but bless. Our throat becomes an instrument for melodies, gifting authentic expression of passion, sensuality, confidence, compassion. When we move from a spiritually grounded place, when we open our mouths, love shows up as divinity, expressing as you. And that's the story of five, told through our friend, the throat chakra. All is well. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you. Reminding us to speak and express with love and compassion. That's what it's about. Thank you, my friend. Life is good. It's getting better. My guests, my friends, my brothers, Kasembe Abena, Reiki Master Ashande, Amun, spiritual activist, and Don Wolf, keeper of stories. Now, let's continue the conversation, and we got some questions here. I just want to ask you, Kasembe, and did you guys get a chance to read the article about the pastor in Utah?
Yes, I did.
Kasembe, did you get a chance to read it?
I did. Yes, I did.
Yes, okay.
I did.
And Don Wolf, did you? Oh, there he is. Okay, cool.
I read it.
Now, okay, we'll post a link in the chat room. I don't particularly want to post it on Facebook. Yeah, I really didn't like the energy. But as I said, if anybody's listening and you're not in the chat room but you really want to read the article, but basically the gist of it is what I said before the break, is this pastor who believes basically he's raping the boys. He said, by having sex with them, he believes when they ejaculate, that is them releasing their homosexuality. And basically, he's doing it for God. So that's just the gist. That's the crazy. And not only that, he had his sentence reduced, and it's just crazy. So anyway, Kasembe, what are your thoughts about that article?
Oh, man. You know, geez, there's so much to say, and I don't want to go off on a – you know, on a tirade here, but obviously it's repulsive and sad and horrific and all that. And, you know, I feel for the children that this man violated, as well as the parents. And you know, so that all that goes without saying. But I want to say this. You know, we live in a society that's so hypocritical, that is so... it's also so puritanical, and we need to have something in place that really deals with sexuality in a real, mature way. Those people that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're not going anywhere. There's no island that we can put them on. There's no rehabilitation that we can put them through to change them. they are another manifestation of God. So what's interesting here is this man, really through trying to deal with his own thoughts, was so twisted that he felt that he could, quote-unquote, rehabilitate these young boys, and really was living out his own, you know, his own sexual perversions. But, you know, we hear about all this, you know, oh, you know, such and such is down low and all this types, all these types of things. And I think that it's kind of at the point where I, and obviously America is not the only place that this happens. I mean, there are many, many other places really worldwide where you have these types of things that are going on. But I, well, so many things to say. I think that we need to have, we need to allow people who are different. And what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about just the thought that this man has, which really, really could probably just be an excuse, of de-gaying these boys. We need to have a space where people can be themselves and express who they really are without ridicule. Or you know, or condemnation. The other thing too, though, and it said something about the judge who reduced his sentence. I want to speak to that too, real quick. I think that men, kind of going to the protection and power thing, I think that men, and brother Sande brought this up, and you spoke about quickly about vulnerability. I think that for men to be true leaders. And women are leaders as well, so I'm not trying to say that men are leaders and women are not. That's not what I'm saying at all, but we're talking about men here. I think that in order for men to be true and effective leaders, we must have two things within our arsenal, vulnerability and also humility. And I think that if you don't have those things, you become insensitive. You become insensitive. Yeah. You're not able to really fully see the issues at hand on a broad scope and a broad scale, and you're not really fully to see how things affect people that don't look like you, i.e. a child or a woman or a girl or someone who's, you know, who's, if you're a white male, who's black, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, someone who's different culturally across the board. So that's also what struck me about that. And I guess what the judge, you know, no, this is maybe another article that I read, I'm sorry. But I don't see this really changing, because this is a systemic, almost institutionalized issue that we have in terms of sexuality in this country, where we are encouraged to not be honest. And it's almost as if sneaking around and hiding things is appreciated more than accepting, than really coming out and saying, this is who I am.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Let me just put that. There's so much
to say. No, I hear you. I know, and thank you for even wrapping it, because I wanted to ask you guys around, you know, we want to talk about protection and power, and this article, which is wrapped up, there's so much in this about homosexuality. I mean, this pastor said he was praying while he had sexual contact with them, you know, in an effort to keep them sexually pure for God. So when we hide things as well, we'll have people doing crazy shit like this. We'll have a pastor saying he's having sex with them because he's a homosexual himself, or wants to express himself that way, but he puts it on in the name of God to make it look right and do just evil things. So thank you for tying it all together and how we must grow as a society to looking at the many expressions of God through each and every one of us, and just going beyond religion and morals and beliefs, really, to what is the truth. Don Wolf, what are your thoughts around the article, homosexuality and power?
Well, I was hoping not to have to say anything.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because it's too late for that. But because the reason I didn't want to say anything about it is because on this subject, I've noticed that most people are terrified of telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides of the question of homosexuality don't ask certain questions of themselves and of each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to subscribe the sacred to what has long been profane, because man-on-man rape has always been an act of destroying a man's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And my father directed me over the years, even though I was shocked when he did it. He told me why he did it, but my father directed me to really probe and understand homosexuality in the United States, and I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Daddy said, he said, well, time will come when you're going to have to because of your voice. And he said, you need to go back in European history. And he said, you have to go back to France, England, and Bismarck, which became Germany, and go into the royal houses to understand the type of homosexuality in the United States. Reluctantly, over the years, because of things happening as a father that I was experiencing, and then having women come to me and children come to me to ask themselves, how do you defend yourself against these predators?
Mm-hmm.
And so that put me in a very odd spot, because there were very few people who would, and there were almost no men who would go and delve into this. And so that's why I was hesitant to do that, hesitant to talk into it. Because the few times I've had to be in a public forum, people often go retreat into the script that's given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And but I have to also say that to answer this truthfully, we have to spread this thing out, because I threw out on purpose about my father, because my father, the other side of it was my father wanted me to expand and deepen myself on this question, and it led me onto a journey where, as a musician mostly, I wound up in friendships with men and women in that world that deepened my spirituality and my understanding. As a Native man, as an Indian man, the reason I mentioned earlier about my reluctance to put the sacred upon that which has been perceived as profane was me speaking as an Indian man.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our cultures, we have a relationship with the Bardashi, or the people who have the two hearts. And I know that American Europeans in the homosexual community are trying to find legitimacy, but most importantly, which pains my heart, they're trying to find validation inside of the church and a Puritan ethic that judges them so harshly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Native community, in that world, our worlds were profoundly different from what the Europeans brought. And the Europeans, when they saw the sacred in the indigenous cultures, they considered it profane. So what we're dealing with is a European perception of a type of spirit that has surfaced in almost every culture in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're wrestling with right now.
Yes.
And so it's too complex of a subject to just run over it, because
mm-hmm.
there are different sides to it. As a healer, my journey, because Daddy saw this, my journey led me to the point, and it was not an easy journey, because I did some things that I won't say on the air. And because I'll give you one example, as a policeman and as a regular man, father, I stumbled into men who were recruiting young boys into homosexual lifestyle, and I beat the shit out of them.
Mm. Mm.
How do you protect your child from that? Because as cruel as I was, I was a father of a very young boy, and I was terrified that my 9-year-old was going to run into this. Mm-hmm. So I had to go, after that, I had to go through a purification process. I'm talking about ceremony. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about isolation. Because every soul is precious. I don't care what you do, every soul has that which is sacred and precious within them. And sitting with my mother, sitting with my father, I'm in tears for a number of reasons after that beating to protect that 19-year-old boy. And so I had to go through a period of evolution. And these are man questions that I had to face as a father, as an African and as an Indian, but as a father and a man who's responsible for the lives of anyone who comes into my presence, I have to answer this thing. And so over many years, I had to come to the point where I found myself in the position of the healer, and I had to balance things out. And it was difficult removing the Puritan part that was persuading me to go to one extreme, and the other part of me that was very liberal and into freedom and all the other stuff that we have here in the United States, and going to that extreme. Where is the balance? And in the answer to the question of where the balance is, I was discovering about the healing component. And the thing is, I'm in the position right now where you cannot, in my presence, you cannot hurt anyone in that world, in the gay community. I will hurt you. I've made it very public. I've talked about this with my wife. She understands my nature. But it's fundamental to protect life as a man. You have to protect life. But when you protect life, you need to understand why you're protecting life. You need to understand the historical significance of everything you do and what is in front of you and the issues that are swirling around your actions, your thought process, your spiritual tradition. That requires you to move into the Western will of a sacred medicine will, where you're living in the house of introspection, facing the East, where is the lodge of illumination, being illuminated by new things you're discovering. Mm-hmm. But this is not the American way. And so this is why I was reluctant to get into this discussion, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, how deep do we want to go with this subject as men?
Right.
But I'm speaking also to the mothers, because despite all the political correctness nonsense is out there, the thing that hurts and stings me the most is you can do all that political correctness and pat people on the back and not telling the truth, and I'm looking at the things that are in the mother, single mother's eyes, and it pains me in every assembly I've ever been into, because the women who have sons to take care of and daughters to raise in this world are not getting their questions answered, and they're not getting the protection they need. Mm-hmm. And what they need to protect them with is the truth. Mm-hmm. And going to find out the truth is not the American way. People were in this country rather die than be immersed in the truth, discover the truth, or embody the truth. So I ask myself, as a man, how do I address this? How do I stand? How do I answer fundamental questions like, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? How will it benefit others and create friendships? There's a number of questions to be asked, but they don't get answered, and we keep getting stories like this.
Yeah,
and there are more stories.
Yeah, you're right. There are more stories that we don't even hear about. So we can be up and on, but there are other things that are happening as we speak, and it is about for me, I believe it's about living the truth, telling the truth, and living the truth, telling the truth takes courage. It's painful, and we must be willing to be different. And yeah, I'm so with you that this, how deep do we want to go? And the radio show doesn't really give us that space. And but I have some thoughts of what we can do to continue the conversation, and we'll share that later. Thank you, Don Wolf. Let me go to Ashande. Your thoughts on the article, homosexuality, and what we can do as men to heal the world of this foolishness.
Well, both of the brothers touched on things that I am in full alignment with. But when I read the article, what came up for me was that this, in my own thinking, my own reasoning, appeared as to me as an occult ritual.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process of what he was doing is very ritualistic, and I'm not gonna put a satanic codex on it because I don't think it was that. But it has a lot to, and I as I read that, I was thinking, okay, what was the prayers he was saying? You know, what was the energy behind those prayers? And to me, it all spelled out for me just a kind of occult ritual. And perhaps, you know, the power behind the church that he's serving with know about this. How long has it been going on?
Right.
Perhaps the judge is involved in it in some kind of a way. So I went into those kind of thoughts because nothing about that has homosexuality written to me. It has, you know, something very deep or in a horrific kind of vibe. But
right.
And as we talk about homosexuality, I have a lot of opinions of that because you have a sense that a lot of young boys are subconsciously being guided into this kind of lifestyle without true knowledge of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our kind of carefree, not coming to the table discussing it as a black community, that it's creating an allure, kind of like how gangs created an allure, you know. Various, I guess, subgroups, if you will, seem to be like, oh, this is the happening thing. And did this come out of prison? You know, because you got a lot of young black boys going into the prison system. And so this is a major conversation.
Because yes, yes.
I like what Brother Gregory brought up about the Eurocentric aspect of homosexuality, which is way different from POCs, people of color, how they come to the table with that. And there's never a kind of discussion about tenderness and love. It's always about control and fucking, basically, excuse my French, but... You know, it's never about, you know, tenderness, love, these things that I've seen in homosexuals and lesbians that I've known throughout my life. I think that's something that we really need to get into a deeper conversation about. Yes. What else do you think? They cover these things with that. You know?
That's right. They cover the truth if we're getting all politically correct. And, you know, there's so much that you said in there. And time is doing what time does. It keeps moving. And I know that this show, if based on you guys' schedule, and we can talk about that later on after the show, but I would like to have a conversation like this on a monthly basis so we can go deeper. Maybe it's, you know, because one of the things that you said that I want to ask, but we don't have time, because I want to talk about the other article about cheating in an open relationship, is when you talk the homosexuality lifestyle, made me go, well, is it really a lifestyle? Because we don't say heterosexual, you know, say, what is it, say, heterosexual way of life as a lifestyle, we accept it. But we won't touch that right now, no pun intended, but because I would like to go deep in it, because this subject, my intention for the show is that we have real conversation, tell the truth, and spend time not rushing it. Now, but I'm speaking of not rushing, I'm going to rush to the next article that I sent you guys and I post on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show like page. And it's an article written by a friend of mine, Monique Ruffin. And the title is, ambivalent about, let me pull it up. Celeste, what is it again? It's here somewhere. But anyway, while I look for the title, even though, and Kasembe, you point out something that I noticed in the article, even though the title suggests it's about cheating, but Monique was more talking about open relationships, which right. takes on a whole new meaning. So, and it's called My Ambivalence About Cheating. Now, so we got a few minutes left. I don't know if we're going to extend the show like we did last week, but if we can take a couple of minutes individually to talk about, to talk about your thoughts about cheating and open relationships, because more and more people are talking about it, and I think we just expand. I won't go too much into detail. I'm just going to throw it to you guys. Let me go to Don Wolf. A minute or two. Actually, no, let me do this, because I want to do this justice, and I want you guys to not feel rushed. Don Wolf, are you able to stay after 2 o'clock?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Kasembe, what about you?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Ashande, are you able to stay to after 2?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you listeners, because I don't really want to rush this. So maybe I might come back to that lifestyle thought, maybe. Listeners, the show is live. Well, the show is live, period. But if you're listening online at 2 o'clock, you won't be able to hear the rest of the conversation. You can hear the rest of the conversation if you come back and go to the archive. But if you want to continue to listen to the show after 2, now, this moment, while you're live, call in 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. So that way, after 2, you can still listen to the conversation. If you've got to go, you can come back and listen to the archive, because I really don't want to rush this topics about relationship, cheating, open relationships, and then now I have time. Actually, I'm just going to do it now then. And then we'll come back to the cheating in open relationship. Ashande, and can you explain what you mean when you talk about the homosexuality lifestyle? Because I don't know. I mean, because for me, when I think of a lifestyle, not looking up a dictionary, it almost seems like something that we learn. Okay, what did you say?
Okay, no, I was saying not in the sense that the mainstream media throws that out there. But mm-hmm. I mean, in the sense that we know that gay is also a culture. And so as the culture is promoted to as an alternative for young black boys to express their feminine side, I think they get lost in that translation. So I'm not saying
Hold on one second. Let me stop you there, because I saw a lot of eyebrows went, huh? And I did too. You said gay is a culture. Are you saying gay is a word?
No, I'm saying gay.
Sexuality is a culture?
No. I'm saying in pop culture, right? In
our culture, I see what you mean. Okay, got it. Okay.
You know, right, like, would Madonna be Madonna if she did not embrace the gay culture? You see what I mean?
Mm.
Would Lady Gaga be Lady Gaga if she did not embrace and express in that cultural framework? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So as this is expanding upon black men, black young men, who haven't been given tools to really get into their own feminine self,
mm-hmm.
they may go into this thinking that this is the outlet, that, oh, this is where I'm at. This is what, you know, not fully knowing that, yeah, you're born gay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'm saying that it is kind of psychologically being placed on certain segments of the population, only because they don't want to teach men how to tap into their feminine vibration, because mm-hmm. they know that could upset the patriarchal construct that American society is fabricated on. Even though in closed doors, they worship the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
In closed doors, the those who are making these shifts at, you know, called America, worship the feminine. But on the outside, they promote the masculine. They promote the patriarchal. And then they to me, they kind of bastardize homosexuality when they show these kind of things on it, these labels. Like, you know, I remember, and I'm going to let it go, I was watching, there's a movie coming out, and the guy is playing a transvestite. And so I forget the movie. But it's going to be a good movie. I want to see it. But the one thing the actor was saying to the viewers was, he was like, I didn't want to play the stereotypical transvestite. I wanted this character to just be human that happens to have this kind of way of living. And I'm like, wow, that's profound, because I start thinking of the characters I've seen. And it's all like a comedy, you know. But there are people who live this way, and that's who they are. And so, you know, if you're only given one concept of it, then you think that that's how you got to be. So, you know, if you understand what I'm saying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clearly, I do. And I'm so because we don't have to rush, and I'm trying to get to two things. I want to talk about the article on cheating in open relationship, but I like where you're taking it, the whole thing about men and the feminine energy. And I want to throw that. I want to go to that question. So I want to go to Kasembe, and the question is around the feminine energy that in all of us. We were male and females. We have the masculine energy and we have the feminine energy. What are your thoughts, or how do you, you know, there are brothers who are saying, you know, who just don't even want to hear that there's a feminine energy within them. And I'm going to ask you guys to speak to this. So this question is for all of you, but I'm going to start with Kasembe. What would you say to brothers, young boys, about the feminine energy that lives in them, and as well as feeling safe enough to be vulnerable in challenging times in relationships when they don't know? You know, the whole thing about safety and vulnerability and feminine energy, especially in men. Kasembe, whatever you're feeling to share on that.
Okay. You know, I would say that I think that it's important to realize that as human beings, both male and female, we are multifaceted, and that's in all areas of our lives. So, you know, we are beings that really house a lot of, you know, dichotomies, we house paradigms that involve, you know, light and dark, male, female, and that when you just live and adhere to only one thing, you eventually break down. For instance, you know, male energy is typically forceful energy. I think it typically it is, its power is to move forward and to clear the way and clear paths and to penetrate and break through, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all that you do and you don't balance it out, you know, you will eventually break down. So it's about balance. It's about balance.
Yes.
And I think that these young boys need to understand that, you know, you come from your mother, so there is a part of her that is within you. There's obviously a part of your father that is within you as well, just as a human being, just by simple physiology and biology.
Right.
And take that into other realms. Take that into our emotional body, our mental body, our physical body, our spiritual body, and to understand that these paradigms, these dualities, exist in all aspects of our lives and all aspects of where we are and who we are. And I think that, you know, this very aggressive nature of what is being pushed and what is being conveyed by society in terms of what a man is, you know, we are prisoners of our own patriarchy that we have pushed and dripped and poured and melted on everyone else. Men are prisoners of their own patriarchy.
yes.
You know, and I think that we have to show these young boys that being that we can actually still, however, free ourselves by embracing our feminine side, by becoming more sensitive, by becoming more vulnerable, by communicating more with others, thereby learning more of who we are, expressing who we are. When you are vulnerable and humble and you express more, you also receive more. Because being humble and being vulnerable is opening yourself up. A closed door can't be walked through. A closed door can't be walked through. But an open door can. And so that open door you'll be able to send things through, and you'll also be able to receive as well. So that, in a nutshell, I won't go on and on. There's a lot more I can say, but I'm going to keep it at that. But it's about balance. Ultimately, it is about balance. And our young boys have to know, we need to teach them that if we live in one way and one way only, we will break. And that's currently what's happening.
I love that. Thank you. And how you tie in the whole thing about being able to receive. And if we're not able to receive, we become rigid. And when we're rigid, we snap, we break. And those who did not learn how to be vulnerable, how to receive love, how to receive help, they end up in jail today because they were so uptight and pent up. And this is a good time. I'm glad. Listeners, those of you listening online, wait a minute. I got to do something real quick. I'm glad to. I'm going to have to do this. Okay, Don Wolf. While you're talking, go ahead and do your thing. Your thoughts about, breathe. Your thoughts about femininity and men and vulnerability. Go ahead, just whatever you're feeling to share, because I got to do something real quick here.
I was hoping to hear Kasembe keep going.
Well, now it's your turn to keep going.
I wish you could write that down. Put that in a blog or into a book somewhere, the way you said that.
I appreciate that, brother.
I agree with that. That's very well said. And you say it as if this is what you've lived. I don't know how you could quote that from a book. You've lived this, I'm assuming. That's what I heard.
I've tried. Thank you, brother. I've tried to. Absolutely. That's kind of one of my missions, brother.
Yeah, it's hearing other men speak of the process doesn't happen very often. And balance, I've found, is extremely important. But I was the type of kid and teenager and man who I had to test stuff under the fire. I remember at 14, if I read something in the Bible, I'm going to try it. I don't care what the cost was. And when I was a policeman, I'm testing things. I have to see if this word does this saying work? And my mother taught me a very valuable lesson about balance. And I didn't tell Mom that I was signing up to work in law enforcement. And so I showed up at her house one day. I had my uniform on. It was real dark blue. I had a bulletproof vest on, gun on the side, the whole thing. And I was showing off, profiling. I looked at Mommy. I said, Mom, what do you think? Mommy was a very quiet woman, very quiet, didn't say a lot of things. And my brothers and I have called her the queen of the one-liners. So Mommy's looking at me. She looks at me up and down, and she coughs into her hand. She goes, I only have one thing to say. And I'm leaning forward. What? And she said, John Wayne is dead.
Wow.
I was done.
Wow.
That blew me completely away. I was shattered. From that moment on, I was terrified to go in the streets. I was numb with fear. She said,
the power of a woman. She broke you down with one word, one sentence.
Broke me down. I'm standing there, macho, the whole nine. I'm ready to go up there. Mr. Cabron. Mommy said that. I was shaking in my boots. And I didn't know what to do. I signed up for this. And I really had to wrestle and worm my way through a host of things. And Mommy didn't offer any advice. She just said that and just looked at me as if she's saying, you handle it. This is what you got to do. And I had to learn under different circumstances, under the threat. This is during the crack wars, when they were raging war on drugs and black people. And I'm in the middle of all this mess. And I had to learn, how do you balance this energy? Because in law enforcement and the military, there is a preponderance of male energy, the whole macho thing, and it will destroy you when you go into it. And the war sickness, I can't stand the term post-traumatic stress syndrome because it's a term that isolates the person who thinks he's the therapist from the person who's suffering from war sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And the old term was war sickness. I got so deep into the work I was doing that I broke down. And I broke down, and I had the alphabet, post-traumatic stress, the war sickness. I had that and clinical depression. At the root of it, a police superior from another police, from the county police, I wasn't with the county, intervened on my behalf because of the work I did, my reputation and all that stuff. Something within what I've been doing over the years, this man intervenes and takes my gun from me. In the police station when I'm doing a lockup, I go to finish what I have to do, and I go in there, and I said, where's my gun? I put it in the lockup. He said, I took it. And I said, well, give it back to me. He said, no. He said, something's wrong with you. And if you want it back, you need to go in therapy. But I'm not a psychologist, so I cannot tell you what I think is wrong with you. But I've seen it in some of my men, and it's in your eyes, and you're not getting your gun until you get help. I said, there's nothing wrong with me. He just looked at me. I'm a white man. And I trashed his office. Profanity is not what I grew up with. I hurt myself. I used the most foul language, and I trashed his office with my fist, my elbows, and my feet. I dented steel cabinets. I knocked stuff over. I broke glass. I trashed him. And that lieutenant and a sergeant stood and sat calmly and never interfered. And when I finished, he writes a piece of paper down. On a piece of paper, he gives it to me. He said, put that on your wall. I looked at it. This too shall pass. I said, what in the does this mean? And I got mad. He said, put on your wall and say it every day. That pissed me off. And then all of a sudden, it hit me, and I was terrified. There was something wrong with me. Well, I called in a professional favor. I got the help that I needed, but it was from a white woman. This white woman had a colleague, and I'm sworn not to reveal who and where I got this, because they went out on a limb for me, because I went out on a limb for a man that worked for me years before who was breaking down. And this man was trying to hide his homosexuality and his alcoholism. And he almost got killed by the federal police because he got drunk and he was holding a gun on them, and they wouldn't kill him because he kept saying my name. And I come down there, took the gun, and I negotiated with the government not to lock him up. And they said, we will, under the condition that you sit in all of his sessions at least once a week. And I sat in there, and that was my connection that got me help years later. And then I went on this journey, and this journey solidified what I knew from my Indian and my African tradition and the way I was raised about the balance. And it started when Mommy said those words. And I was learning it, but when I realized that I had to learn it after I broke down, I really got into it. And so I've learned the process from it. I've learned how to teach it to others. And as was just said, talking about the boys in prison and homosexuality, those cats are always in my circle. Mm-hmm. And I only deal with this imbalance and the homosexuality and the rape and stuff. I will only deal with it in ceremonial circumstances and in those circles. But again, this is another subject. We're going to talk about process, how we as healers and men and fathers teach this to boys. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Because I know I've been doing it for quite a while because I have to do it. It's in my heart
mm-hmm.
to do it. And I want to cut off because I want to hear everything else that has to be said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Shunde, you're next,
thank
right?
You. Yes,
I have
yes, because he brought us dead. I'm grateful he did. So, Shunde, your thoughts about, you know, men surrendering, embracing, living from that, you know, honoring their femininity, the feminine energy, that energy to receive love, that energy that easily is vulnerable, and not vulnerable as in weakness, but that's really the strength. You guys have talked about your mothers, and, you know, there's something about that vulnerability of a mother. What do you have to say about that when it comes to men? And there was another part of the question that I don't remember, so I just throw it over to you.
Well, it has a lot to do also with your own spiritual evolution
mm-hmm.
and how you're coming in this world. And when you tap into that, it's interesting. Because we live in a society that doesn't embrace it. And so it becomes almost an exercise of faith because you're challenged in that, you know. You're challenged by, and especially depending on where you live, you meet challenges that test the boundaries of how much you honor that, you know. Are you just talking? Are you walking that walk? So I often tell friends of mine, I say, you know, when you embrace your feminine, you're actually anchoring your masculine in the most powerful awesomeness that it could be. Because you got to have strength in that to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been, mm-hmm. I mean, prior to, this is one thing I used to get, are you gay?
Mm.
I said, what?
Yeah. Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
This is for women I used to, you know, gay.
Yes.
Say women said, you are just too cool. Are you
mm-hmm.
gay? Like,
mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
Mm.
Or just be tested just by, you know, alpha males wanting to test, test you, you know, because you're appearing to them different.
Yes. You know, that's a good point you brought. Because even females don't even allow, generally speaking, don't even allow men to tap into that feminine energy. Because I've experienced it. I've had a woman come up to me many years ago. She said, "You know, I know you're not interested in females, but I just want to tell you that I'm attracted to you." In my head, I'm starting to be nice, but in my head, I'm like, "Okay, I'm cleaned up." I'm like, "What the fuck? Flip, are you talking about you?" This is going on in my head. Like, what? And I'm thinking, okay, since you're saying you know that I'm not attracted to females, why the heck are you even trying to talk to me? And I wasn't attracted to her, but it made me start questioning myself, saying, am I gay and I just don't know it? I mean, I got that in so many ways. But later on in my own spiritual growth and transformation, I was able to say, you know what? It's all about people's perception. And I always joke on the show, I don't have a deep voice. I'm not crazy about sports. Those are the stereotypical things about what it means to be a man. But there's so much more. For me, I don't want to say a real man, but really to be a real, fully who you are, male or female, is to be able to honor the masculine and feminine. We see that the masculine energy in some females is just out of balance. They become the ones that want to attack and penetrate, that nobody can penetrate their heart anymore because they're so hard. They're so hard because they've learned to be hard. And all of us, male and female, got to learn to kind of find that balance. But as you said, Ashanda, it's about a spiritual awareness, spiritual awakening, and willing to go inside and look at the beliefs and the bullshit that we've allowed ourselves to believe that is not true for us. So I don't know if you still want to add some more to that, because I want to go to the article about cheating in open relationships.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well,
and,
I got one thing.
Okay, go ahead, Don Wolf.
I found it interesting about having someone say that you asked if you were gay, because I never experienced that, and I was kind of stunned when you said that. And but then later on, you were saying, I am an alpha male. I don't really like that, but I am a dog that will bite you in your leg.
I ain't the number one, but I'm gonna bite
male.
You.
You're a conscious alpha male.
By the conscious alpha.
Oh shoot, that was funny. See, I'm gonna try and hold this silliness down.
Don't do it. Re-express yourself,
out.
Man.
Just came out. That's a very interesting comment, because people were afraid to say that to me. I got called Uncle Tom back in the Black Liberation Movement, and I got highly criticized when I was when I finally told someone that I was an Indian, and Negroes turned on me. And somebody came up bleeding, but it wasn't me.
And you're the alpha male? Okay, alpha dog? Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I found that interesting. And I have a question about that. Were they just deliberately being cruel? They couldn't find anything else to say, or was it something about you that was presenting a challenge to what they thought you were supposed to be?
I think that's what it is. I think when you're stepping out of alignment with what a particular element of man, you know, so we're talking about an unconscious man. So if you're stepping out of what he's aware of or what he's knowing, and it's what, you know, it's like, oh, that guy must be gay, you know.
And it's a good question that you asked, Don Wolf, because for me, I didn't quite understand it. And, you know, what I told myself was, well, maybe because I'm not outwardly aggressive. Now, I have my moment where I can just be but I don't go, I mean, and this deal with playing with stereotypes. And it's something that I kept thinking, what is that about? Now, I have a good friend, her name is Jada, and she said, what it is Americans are not used to foreigners. She says, because she has a way, she, you know, she would just say, he's foreign. So she says, it's because you're foreign. They're not used to a foreigner who is not aggressive, not sort of like put forth his masculinity. It's just being who he is. She told me, she said, most people are used to black men, particularly, who come across as being strong and hard. So she said, but with you, they feel a sense of sensitivity around you, and they don't know what to do in their mind. It messes their mind. So the only conclusion they can draw is, he must be gay. And I think that goes across the board, but also part of the church that I go to embrace people of all sexual orientation. So it was easier for the lazy mind that has concluded that because there's some brothers who are straight hard and they're gay, but in that time people think, you know, if you're there's a sort of sense of sensitivity around you, you don't come across as being angry, then, oh yeah, you're not a real man or not a full man, so that means you're gay. But the churches I go to embrace people of all, I mean, just whatever your expression is. But that's my conclusion.
I would chime in that's my same experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shindig speaking. Same thing. Just closed minds. You know, because I also have my, but I got to say, conscious alpha male moments. But overtly sensitive person, like I am okay with having a teardrop. You know,
nope.
Absolutely.
But some people they sense that. Oh, that's nothing a man should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what.
I have to chime in here, you know, guys. I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I've had the exact same experiences that you are, Day and Ashande. I've had people say that to me as well, and I've come to the point now where I just take it as a compliment because honestly, I personally don't want to be perceived as a Neanderthal, you know, knuckle dragging, knucklehead. You know, I don't want to be seen as that. So you know, and it's actually been women that have reinforced the fact that as I've come up through the years and let me know how much of a man I really am, you know.
Yes.
They've helped me, understand that. They've helped me, and I think what you're saying, Ashande, about a male accepting his feminine side further grounds him in his masculine. I think that's a very, very powerful statement.
Yes.
And I had women tell me that. And I think it comes down to back to the balance thing, but it's also about now you're living as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
You're living as a whole person, and so, you know, my experiences have been the same. And I don't think there's any sort of archetype, or I don't think there's any language in the States here to really compute, understand, and deal with a man who really accepts his femininity, other than, as you said, Ade, put him in the category of he must be gay, you know,
yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But then what do you do with a man who has that, you know, who's, you know, I'm very expressive. You know, I was raised by two women, you know, I'm very, you know, I just like you said, Ashande, a tear will drop, you know, I'm cool, you know, whatever, you know, so I think a lot of women don't even know, it just doesn't compute. Well, who is this dude?
Right. You know, right.
Who is this?
Right.
But at the same time, you know, as Don Wolf has been saying, you know, and as you said, Ashande, you know, don't get it twisted. If it goes down, we can turn it to alpha male as well. You know, it's all good. You know,
right.
You know, let there be no mistake. You know, we just don't need to wear that on our sides. You know,
right,
you know,
right.
Wear that, you know, wear that on our shoulders, on our sleeves, or whatever. So
I'm gonna take a piece out of Don Wolf's Book of Wisdom and say I won't be silly. He said if it goes down, I could be a conscious alpha male. I'd go many places
right.
with that, but I won't.
I'm
only up to Don Wolf. I want to come to you, Don Wolf. I know you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I could resolve all those questions. I resolve those questions when I physically meet you guys. I'll answer everything for you. But
how you gonna do that?
I see you. If I see you, I can answer the questions for you.
I know who I am.
But I'm also messing with you. But I could answer.
I know.
But the other thing is, it was just said a minute ago. Of the three of you, all three of you were raised by women.
No, I had my mom and dad. I was raised by my mom and dad, both of them.
You had your mom and dad. Well, there is a in one slight sense, we're talking about image, and then and largely we're talking about patterns, and we pattern ourselves by our strongest influence.
Right.
And my father's a man's man. Daddy's cabron. He's an old man. And he still has that thing. And the first time I saw Daddy cry was when Kennedy got shot. I was blown away. Then I saw him break down when Martin Luther King died, and then when his father died, when I was 19, I watched it, and now I'm watching Daddy different things. I know exactly what will make Daddy cry. So, but the definition of the man, there's a physical definition, there's appearance, and there's an energy that's exuded.
Right.
And women are going to connect with it. Other men are going to connect with it. And but then I agree with you that there are different types of men. And for all that I've said, one thing I cannot stand doing, I cannot stand sitting down on a sofa and watching a football game on television. It bores me out of my mind. I can't do
unless
it.
Unless it's lingerie football, right?
Unless it's lingerie football. I'm up for an hour and a half. But my father told me that my mother said that Daddy was criticized because when he was in his 20s, he wasn't interested in hunting, fishing, or sports. His thing was political science and other things. And they were telling him, and as strong and tough as my father was, they were saying the same thing they were saying to you. They were like, well, what kind of man is this?
Mm.
So I guess that our young men need the different types of men as they discover who they are.
That's
I think, an honest or kind way that we could say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Because I very easily a day could. Huh? Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that I have another friend that used to say to me, because I understand, you know, we carry our history with us, our culture. And a friend of mine was saying to me, but how come you're not like other men? And I knew she was talking about men in America. And I said, you know, I'm not better than them, but you also got to understand, I did not grow up in this country. So I don't have the burden, if you will, of what it means to be a black man in America. So I didn't have that experience. I learned about it, but I didn't grow up with that. It wasn't part of my upbringing. So, you know, some black men are the way they are because they had to protect themselves. They felt vulnerable. And that's, if you really want to say real talk, that's real talk. Now, we are evolving. So I recognize that I'm not better than anybody else. I just had a different experience. And if we start to see ourselves, even men that grew up in this country, the men who grew up in this country are not hard. The men, I mean, you guys are on the phone. We're talking to you right now. So it's like, but it's about us individually expanding our awareness, our consciousness, so that we can create space and allow people to be who they are fully. Or else we end up boxing people, putting them in a box while saying we want, especially females, to put men in a box because it's sensitive and it's crying, while they're saying, I just want a man who can understand me, who's sensitive and vulnerable. But when you meet a man like that, it's like, I don't want no mama's boy. I don't want no CC. But on the other hand, you want a man who's sensitive, who's in touch with his emotions. Which one do you want? You know?
Yeah, you're right. That is, but you know, a lot of definition of manhood in the Black community that I've been facing is it took me a while to realize it, but I was being compared to men who were incarcerated, who were hustlers.
Right.
I work with that population in the last few years, and I remember sitting there and doing my contributions to it, but I listened a lot to other men who had spent 15, 20 years incarcerated, and then one of those men, I only met one man who really knew how to teach the process of evolving from being incarcerated and hustling on the street to becoming into his manhood, and because a lot of these men were only kind of speak eloquently about how they got in trouble and how they lived and what prison was like. But this one man talked about how he decided he was going to change his manhood, and he decided that he was going to tell the truth in a maximum security prison, first to himself and then to everyone else. He told the young man, that was dangerous to do. But he said, I stuck to it every day until the results, what came back to him, was that these other men, the worst of the worst, became vulnerable to him and began to open their hearts to him. When he got out, he expanded upon that. And in one of the sessions we were doing together, these kids were just enamored with his stories about how what he did when he was their age, what he did in jail, and on. And he got kind of frustrated. And he told them, don't be making a big deal about what I did. He says, you all are asking the wrong questions and you're drawing attention to the wrong thing. He says, you should be, points at me, you should be asking Baba, how is it he got to be that old and never got locked up in jail and put in jail? That's what you should be asking. He said, that is the man that you should be focusing on, and ask him those questions. And the boys were stumped.
Wow, right.
And no one knew what to say, and this was revelatory to me. And then one of them just asked me, how come when you were our age, you didn't go to jail? And I said to him, because this cat did this two times. And the first time I said, well, I was born like everybody else with foresight, and not a single boy in there knew what foresight was. That thing hit me in my core. I said, wait a minute, you don't know what foresight is? And I explained what it was and how I used it. And I realized that these young men, their minds are not developed, and they have a skewed sense of what masculinity is. And so over the years, with the help of other men that I patterned myself after, I had to make a decision of what kind of man will I present myself
Did we lose Don Wolf again?
Oh, no.
I think we did. He's going to come back. Celeste is going to call him. Celeste, can you just call Don Wolf back, put him in a three-way? I know, right? Somebody said, oh, no. He was getting good.
That's
okay. Because somebody's still here. Shande's still here. And, this is another extended show of the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, as we did last week. We weren't planning to go over I wasn't planning to go over this week, but for me, it just shows that there's so much that needs to be said and shared. But when he comes back, he will finish off what he's saying. Celeste will bring him on. And actually, Celeste, I'll come to you. I don't know if Celeste can hear me because she's not in the chat room. Okay, I'll come to Celeste in a minute. I'll let Spirit guide me. But what I want to do is maybe I should wait for Don Wolf. Well, I can repeat it to him. I want us to talk about, so we can kind of start getting ready to release the show, to talk about the article about cheating, open relationship, and intimacy. Okay, thanks, Celeste. Thank you. Okay, Don Wolf is back. Celeste, thank you so much. You're just, oh, thank you for pressing one because I didn't know how I was going to figure it out. Thank you. Yeah,
can
you hear you?
Can you hear in this background? Because I might have to leave where I am.
Well,
can you hear?
It sounds like it. Go ahead, Dung. We'll finish your thought. We were like, oh, my God, where did you go?
It was Homeland
right.
Security.
No, you didn't. I can't mute myself. I'll be quiet.
As we get into it, so
wow. Okay. Well, go. Please, Don Wolf. Go ahead, because
go ahead,
I
Don
will
Wolf,
say
Chris.
This. There is. I do want to say this. Everything that he's sharing right now, I've actually heard in sacred conversation. It's a part of my initiation into my own womanhood. So I'm laughing because I've heard these over the years, all of these stories coming out, because he's a teacher in the community. So I think it's hilarious that he's airing it out in public. Love it.
Mm-hmm. He's coming out of the closet.
Don
Wolf just came out on the Afterlife Post-Hattie Radio Show.
Oh, man, Dave, you're wrong. If I had the nerve, I would say something. But I don't know what's going to come out your bag. Oh, you stupid! That was funny. Man, people have been getting me all month. Kids and adults.
Hey, that's my brother Hogg. He just came out of the closet. Let's welcome him to the community and let him know how much we love and appreciate him.
Oh, boy. Ooh, man, that was funny.
Okay. Yeah. So, I want you to wrap up what you were saying, because when you dropped, Kasembe go, when he went, oh, man. And then,
yeah, where was
Kasembe, please jog my memory. I can't remember now.
Man, I'm trying. Oh, man.
I think the last comment, gentlemen, was about the awe of having this man in prison redirect the young men's attention to Don Wolf.
That's right.
We need to, thank you, Celeste. What can we do without our sisters? Mm.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're talking about foresight. Foresight and the fact that you're saying the young men are undereducated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, they were there when the boys did not understand what I meant when I said I was born with foresight like everyone else. They didn't know what foresight was, so I told them what it was and how I used it. And the boys also did not have they were born with it, but it had been exorcised, like an exorcism out of them, was intellectual curiosity. And I explained to them, I said, I used to hang out with drug dealers and pimps and whores and stuff, but the people who ran those businesses, wherever I was and whatever country I was in, they would not let anybody entice me with any drugs under the threat of being hurt or killed. And so what I wanted to know was what happens at the end for a heroin addict, an alcoholic, a heavy smoker, and I'd watch it and I'd learn, because it didn't make sense to me to become addicted to a drug. And plus, I didn't like anything dominating me. You couldn't dominate me. And so the kids, over the next time we had sessions, they're trying to understand what kind of cat was like this. It's 15, 14, 20, and 30, or so on, years old. But what I was learning from them was that the people around them were pulling that away from them and not fortifying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my friend, the guy who had directed all the kids from him to me, this man made himself vulnerable because he was showing them how he was becoming a man, and he said, I became a man too late in life.
Mm.
He said, at 45, I was not even a man because of the choices I made when I was your age. And so going back to what we had said before about how we were being perceived as men when we were coming up, and a couple of you said that. They said, well, you must be gay. I got called an Uncle Tom. But I found out that what I was hearing were people who did not have an urge or unction in their spirit to develop themselves. When they were calling me Uncle Tom, for example, I was in high school, and I decided, I was very shy, I decided I was going to read a poem of my origin and a lyric from Stevie Wonder, and I said I was going to do this before the public assembly. I got a standing ovation. And
wow.
It dawned on me when I'm standing there getting this thunderous applause that I wasn't the problem. I wasn't. And what it was, what hit me was that most of the black Americans, it's for you, Ade, most of the black Americans were into the fad of black liberation, the fad following Martin Luther King. I was the one who had studied the issues and read the books and magazines. I'm the one who had sat up with my father or snuck and listened to his bull sessions when he was the head of the Congress of Racial Equality. I'm reading Black World, which used to be Negro Digest. I'm reading the poets and from the 50s. I'm listening to the music as far back as 1910, 1920, and delving into it. And when it hit me, standing in front of them as a little teenage boy, I wasn't going to take any of that criticism from black Americans. And when I was come back to live in the United States, I have lived, that paradigm has not changed within the black American community. Black Americans are more committed to pleasing and being white people as much as possible. They're not about collectively about becoming an African people engaged and connected to the African spirituality, delving into the mystery, studying what the essence of a man or woman is. They're not into that.
That's right.
And that's repulsive, and that's what keeps showing. But if you say this to the black American community, they will shut you down. They will call you names. They will do what they did to Bill Cosby. They'll do it to you on the street. Somebody will come up beside you and cold cock you, or they'll, maybe you, but not me, because I would hurt a Negro. I'm joking, I think. It's a joke. Don't show up here in Maryland and say, what'd you say, pal?
Well, let me tell you something. I would have to come over there to knock you out. I'll knock you out from here with my energy.
Oh, you got to find me first. You got to get through Celeste.
My name
anyway,
is Bennett. I'm not in
you
it.
You ain't in it. let's take the next 10 minutes. There's so much here, and I just getting ready to wrap the show or release the show. But I want to talk about this article that I shared with you. And I want to, just for listeners, you can find it on my Facebook wall. It's Ade Anifowoshe, or just go to the what do you say? Ade Anifowoshe, or just go to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show fan page, like page. And the title of the article is My Ambivalence About Cheating. So I'm just going to read the last two paragraphs that Monique wrote, and she got so much feedback from this article, and because she's talking about cheating, she's talking about truth telling as well as open relationships. She said, so the last two paragraphs says, I have been the woman driving by my husband's boyfriend's house, and I've been the other woman hiding inside. I have finally resolved that I am not willing to be in a relationship in which my partner isn't committed to radical truth telling. Transparency is now my relationship mantra. She goes on to say, people can create any relationship they desire. And for me, intimacy means that I show my whole self to my partner. Keeping corrupting secrets is not a practice within an intimate relationship. I've also decided that none of my relationship will be exclusive. Each person is free to do and be with whom they desire. My partner belongs to himself, and I belong to myself. Cheating has been rendered impossible, and if he likes, I am happy to listen to his stories and experiences with others. For me, this is unconditional love at its best. And you can read the whole article by going to my wall, or just put in Facebook, Monique Ruffins, and it will lead you to go to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show like page. Ashande, what are your thoughts about that? I know you. Yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts about the article? Because you guys have read it. I think Don Wolf read it. Don Wolf, did you get to read it?
I read it. Oh, it was read too.
Okay, good.
I heard.
Ooh, okay. All right, Ashande, your thoughts. So we just get ready to release the show.
A truly liberated sister. She's a profound woman. She's a profound woman. I think that in that sense, it could work. I think that we're going to have to start reevaluating our concept of what we accepted as relationship, what we call monogamy, and what we call male and female, or however it comes, male and male, female and female, how we come to each other, because there are people who think, you know, that once you love someone, that's just it, you know.
Right.
But love is unlimited. So we're going to have to get into those kind of discussions, and I think a big part of that is just respect, and if it's coming from that respect and a deep sense of honor, it could go into the direction that the sister has taken it.
Yes,
and
it's important for
my relationships that way, open and honest. I'm sorry. Yes. I was just going to add on, you know, I've made that my commitment to be open, to be honest, and to not, you know, hold back anything. And and to be honest, up until now, it has not worked in my favor. Because women say they want that honest brother, but when you give them honesty, if they're not strong, if they are not strong and centered, and that has been my dealing, you know, my dealing has been with a lot of women that weren't as strong and centered as they projected themselves to be.
It's one thing to speak the truth. It's another thing to live the truth. Now, before I go on to Kasembe, Ashande, I want to stick with you for a quick minute. I want you to share your thoughts. I mean, especially, I mean, how Monique put it in an article, the whole thing about intimacy is about sharing everything. And if somehow you can tie it into very briefly, tie it into how you met your wife, because you had promised us last week that you wanted to share how you met your wife. So maybe there's some messages there for the listeners. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay, so did you hear the question? Are you there? Can you hear me?
This is Kazembe. I think you're looking for Kazembe. Is Kazembe there?
No. I'm talking to you, Ashande. I'm going to go to Kasembe.
Oh.
But you had said last week you want to tell the story about how you met your wife. And I said, if you can tell us about that story.
Oh, no. We're going to use this time to get into this. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is heavy.
Okay. Before I go to Kasembe, though, I want you to give your definition of intimacy, because generally people look at intimacy and say, well, you know, we haven't been intimate yet, which means they haven't gone to bed, they haven't had sex. But from the spiritual context and what you and what I know about you, how would you define intimacy as it relates to relationships?
I think for me, intimacy is connecting with that God essence in that other individual. And it just starts right in that. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to be vulnerable, being able to be fully open to the person that you are.
Yes.
And that's truly intimate, you know, just being that place, you know, of open acceptance, open flow.
Mm.
And it's something that is very much needed.
Yes,
very
indeed.
Much needed.
And that allows for truth telling. Kasemba, your thoughts on the article about cheating, open relationship, and intimacy?
I posted something when you posted that on my page on Facebook, so I really applaud this sister as well. I was a little concerned at first because, you know, I think the title of the article is a little bit misleading, but she's talking about really how she moved past cheating because cheating, of course, you know, denotes a certain type of dishonesty. I am definitely, and I've been saying this for several years now, I think we're in the middle of a serious paradigm shift when it comes to the institution of marriage that Asunde noted as well. I think people are redefining themselves, or redefining what they want to be, and that they're in the middle of kind of rediscovering, you know, okay, you know, if I move past peer pressure, family pressure, community pressure, church pressure, what do I really want? And that it really, you know, I believe that, you know, I'm not with people saying that marriage doesn't work. I don't believe that. Or, you know, a lot of people that embrace a quote-unquote alternative structures of marriage, you know, whether it's a triad, whether it's a polyamorous relationship, et cetera, gay, lesbian, whatever it may be, some of those people are also saying that, you know, the dyad, the two, you know, the monogamous dyad doesn't work. And I don't believe that either. I believe it also, it always comes down to the individuals in that relationship. So the construct itself is neutral, but, you know, it really takes a turn, or it really goes in a certain direction based on the people that enter that construct, that form, or that structure of marriage. And there are a lot of different ways to have it. I think that, you know, it seems like all three of us today have spoken on the importance of vulnerability. And I think as well, what must accompany vulnerability is acceptance. So
yes,
if you are demanding that someone be vulnerable, well, then you also have to check yourself and make sure that you are also accepting of who they are or of what they give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm talking about within reason. I'm not saying someone beating you, and oh, it's okay. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about if someone is speaking their truth, check yourself and make sure that you are at a point in your life where your growth can accept someone else's truth, because it's a current.
Yeah.
This is a cyclical current that's going to go in between the both of you. That's going to revolve between the both parties, both people, whether it's two or three or four or whatever. Personally, I have been in various types of different relationships, open relationships with women that I think were great. And I've in those, I've been able to discover more of who I am and discover more of my truth. And as I wrote briefly in response to the article that you posted, I think that it takes fantastic you really have to have some serious communication skills. You have to be honest and be willing to be honest. You will face your jealousies, which is fine, and be honest about those. But also respect, defining what respect means for you, defining what respect and accepting what respect means for the other person, and being willing to negotiate and give the person what they need to feel respected and loved, and then also being in a place where you can ask and demand that for yourself as well. So I think the article is fantastic. Fantastic.
Mm. Yes, yes. Well, we're definitely going to continue our conversation. I want to go to Don Wolf because this show is blowing me away. I'm like, okay, Spirit, what's really going on that we've extended? Don Wolf, your thoughts, and yeah, it's your thoughts on, you know, cheating. I mean, maybe not so, yeah, as Kasembe said, because it started off as that, but what Monique was talking about, the importance of being intimate with one another by sharing each other's truth and growing together, learning together, and create a space of authenticity, acceptance, and then, you know, just really doing relationship differently. So what are your thoughts, Dunwolf?
Well, I was afraid to say something because I think Master going to come get me. Master going to get me.
Dunwolf, you can speak your truth. Don't act like that because I'm on the line. We have a different relationship. It is, you know, literally, you know, father, daughter, brother, sister. So he's being set up right now. I'm just letting you guys know because one of his students who's been following him since her early 20s is on the line. She's 43 years old. But you know what, look, I'm going to say a life coach today because he's one of my teachers too. But you know what, Dunwolf? As I've always said, don't hold back. You know, your truth helped to heal me. So do not trip that I'm on this line right now. You said it before, and I do know that your Atomic Dog is your favorite song. So break it down and heal the people, and don't worry about me being here. I'm done with Coach today. I just knew he needed me to say that.
Okay, so, yes, real quick before we get rearranged by technology. Go ahead.
I thought about it a lot over the years, and I read that article. Or it was read to me and by a woman with a very sensuous voice who put emphasis on certain words and phrases.
Really?
And it lulled me into a state of awareness of the many women that I have met and decisions I made around vulnerability. And I wrote something. Because I saw Kasumbe's thing. I had to read it a couple of times. I wanted to write down D-A-M-N and put exclamation points, but I had an image to maintain, so I didn't do that. So I put something that was better written, had more eloquence and reflected thought. I don't want to read it to you because I won't deny you the pleasure of reading it. But trying to keep it, there's so much to say, and I will say that women like that, the few that I have met, demanded just by their stating what they wanted, what they had lived, they got to the place where they would say things like that, what this woman wrote so well, put a very particular demand on my sense, on my masculinity, my manhood, and it demanded an impeccability within me that I did not expect was going to be asked of me. Because when I hear a woman say that, something like that, and there's only been a very, very few women who really embodied that, they were giving me freedom to really plunge into who I am. But when I got into the whole of the emotions, you know, like, well, okay, she said, well, okay, Gregory, we had a great time together. But you know Jose over there? He looks really good. He got curly hair. I think I'm going to go knock boots with him. We're going to do the wang, dang, doodle-wop, doodle-wop-bee. I'll be back next Friday. What are them? How, I was like, whoa, how do you deal with those emotions? So it's a very difficult thing to ask me. Because if I was single, I have to be honest, because part of me would be like, oh, man, you know, I could do the Cindy Pooh, then I can go out there with Cindy Sue and do this and that. And then I have to rein that in, because any woman I go into, I'm responsible to a very deep degree and a very wide. That's a wide thing, to have responsibility, because you entered into someone's soul, and they into you. So I had a number of reactions. But I'm looking around the corner now, and I don't see Master. I don't see him around nowhere. I guess it's safe now. I guess I can come out the closet.
That's right. It's safe because you're already out of the closet.
Yeah.
So let him hold in your hands and not go back
I
in.
Wish he would. Tell him, brother,
know?
I wish he would. Glad to see him coming.
Yes. We got 2 minutes to release the show, so I'm just going to take the 2 minutes to thank you, brothers, for sharing your truth. being willing to be seen and express yourself, be authentic, and add to the healing of humanity. I thank you for who you're being in the world, the questions, the deep questions you're asking yourself, and just for who you are, simply for who you are. Thank you so much. And we're going to continue the conversation somehow. We're going to continue the conversation.
Can we bring Monique next time and have some fun?
Oh, that would be something. She said, "Get to bring Monique."
What she can't say for herself is is grounded in her body. I think she's got some tools in terms of dealing with, you know, how she got to this other side. And I would love to hear a conversation between Monique Ruffin and the Warrior Brothers next month.
Okay, now that's something. That is something. Okay.
She said nothing but a word.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, what I'm going to do, because a few minutes to go, Ashende, one or two words to release the show that you have for us. One or two words.
Oh, no, I was just speaking in terms of the article. I was saying I have some questions for her.
Okay, cool. Okay, good. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you, Ashende. Don Wolf, one or two words to release
the
show.
Why must I be like that? Why must I face the cat? Nothing but the dog in me. That was inappropriate. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't start then, Celeste. And Kasembe, one or two words, unless you want to sing. But we ain't got a lot of time for that.
Nah, you don't want me to sing. I'll run everybody off the air. You know, I want to encourage people to speak their own truth and to accept other people's truth and to allow themselves to be free.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. I really appreciate you, and I look forward to talking to you sometime. Maybe next month. We'll work it out. We'll send the emails and figure it out. I appreciate you. Wow. Thank you, Celeste, for working it out and bringing Don Wolf back. And it's time to release the show. And there's nothing else that needs to be said other than be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to relax and just drop your shoulders. And now allow love in. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I am back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, solo. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I'll see what I'm going to download. And feel free to join the conversation. We invite you to donate to Life Conversations Radio, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and just click the donate button. I so love you, and I thank you all. Thank you, my brothers. This is Troy. I keep wanting to call him Trey. Troy Horn. God Light. We are God Light. Each and every one of us. We are all God Light. God's Light. Shine, shine, shine. TroyHorn.com. Peace and blessings.
My kids rock out, they know the words, to sing along. Circle of life, it's kind of strange. Sometimes it breaks my heart, but all of life is changed.
When I look into their eyes, I see the God light.
Got the sun in the sky,
it's so bright.
And no matter what I hear about the
dark night,
I know that everything around me is perfect,
alright.
I'ma live my life until my life is through.